Hospice Coffee Morning together with Bewley's is one of Ireland's longest established and most loved fundraisers in aid of specialist palliative hospice and home care services. Their annual fundraising day will take place next week on Thursday the 24th of September. So this morning I'm joined on the line by a remarkable woman, Mary Kelly, who is a respite patient at Our Lady's Hospice in Harold's Cross. Mary, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Susan.
Mary, you might talk me through your story. I believe the thing started for you 8 years ago. Tell us a little bit about what your symptoms were and what happened.
Well, 8 years ago, I was diagnosed with COPD, which is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And it was just, I was getting breathless sometimes. Not very often, but they gave me an inhaler in the hospital and in the respiratory team in the hospital, and I just got on with my life. And in between that time, I got TB on my lungs, and I was given medication for 9 months to deal with that. And then I got rheumatoid arthritis, I got fibromyalgia, and I also got advanced emphysema. So that was diagnosed January 2019.
You ended up in hospital in January 2019 with then a range of challenges and issues.
Yeah, no, I ended up with just, I was out with a friend of mine, and she noticed that my breathing wasn't great. So she sent me to the doctor and he sent me to A&E. And they told me that I had advanced emphysema. So I was due in with my respiratory team anyway, and in 2 days' time. So they started me on morphine and to help me to breathe, because I just couldn't breathe no matter what I did. I just couldn't breathe. I was finding it very difficult. And my husband, if I was going upstairs to go to the bathroom, my husband would have to push me up the stairs. So it was getting more and more difficult all the time. So in April, the doctor told me that I needed a double lung transplant to keep me alive. So I thought you just went over and you got new lungs and, you know, in 2 weeks' time and that was it and you were get on with your life. But I found since then, you know, it doesn't work like that, and it's very difficult to accept something like that. So Mr. Kelly in the hospital sent me to the hospice, to a lovely lady called Julie Goss down there. And I went down and I was just sitting outside the door. Oh, and it said on it, palliative care. And I said to myself, I shouldn't be here. You know what I mean? Like this place is for people who are really sick and, you know, die here and things like that. Lots of things went through my mind then. When I went in, Julie Goss was like an angel. She just took me and listened to me and didn't interrupt me and just put everything in place for me to live a normal life with this serious illness that I have.
So what kind of treatment, Mary, tell us, have you gotten, like, through the hospice, through Our Lady's Hospice in Harold's Cross? What kind of treatment plan did they put you on?
Straight away, she put a plan in place while I was there, and I had to see an occupational therapist because I couldn't even bend down to put shoes on, or if I was in the garden, I stopped doing the garden because I wasn't able to do that, because bending down I would be short of breath all the time. So she sent me to an OT there, and the OT showed me how to do things better, you know what I mean?
So teach you different ways so you wouldn't. I understand, like, you used to have a lot of coughing fits, and I know that, you know, you could cough, you might cough for 15 minutes or longer, and that it was so bad that you'd never cough in the house. You'd always go outside because you were afraid that you'd actually collapse, or that you could possibly die in the house.
That's right. I was in one day in particular, I got into the car and turned on the engine, and a coughing fit started, and I jumped out of the car because I knew if I jump out of the car, somebody will see me if I die beside the car. So rather than being in the car. So the coughing fit would last, it's called an exasperation, and it would last maybe 12, 15 minutes or more. And you can die from it, you know. So I would jump out, or I would go to the front door. If it happened in the house, I would go to the front door and go outside the front door. And this was like on a continuous basis. You know what I mean? It wasn't just once every 2 weeks or once every 3 weeks. This was happening a lot, almost nearly every day.
The people at the Our Lady's Hospice in Harold's Cross, obviously, as you said there, they're helping you to manage your condition and to live with it. But they've sort of helped you to look and, I suppose, live life in a better way. And I know that you get to see a psychologist in the hospice as well. So it's not just the medical treatment. It's much more than that.
Yeah, it's absolutely. There's a breathlessness team, and they've taught me how to, like, when I get short of breath, how to use my breathing properly, you know, rather than, you know, panic, because I was panicking an awful lot. I started to panic. So they've taught me how to breathe when I'm in one of these distressed situations, how to breathe, focus and breathe the way that they have taught me to do. So, and then the psychologist, yeah, when you're, he keeps me calm. And he keeps me, but lets me know that this is a serious illness. And I remember the first time he said that to me, and he said, like, you have a serious illness. And I was sitting there and I was saying, I have a serious illness. Like, how, you know, I still didn't accept it. But now I have, because he's taught me many ways, mindfulness, you know, he's taught me many ways of coping with the mind and how to deal with what is going on with this illness.
And Mary, I know you have a son and a daughter and you've got two grandchildren. I know at a time you would have tried to kind of shield them from how sick you were feeling or how bad you were feeling. How is that now? I mean, I presume they see the benefits that you have gained from going to the hospice, and I'm sure they welcome the fact that your life isn't kind of, you're not struggling as much as you were in the past.
Yes, absolutely. They're very grateful to the hospice for what they do for me. They actually put a smile on their face when they know I'm going down to the hospice. And from the COVID, the pandemic of the COVID, the hospice video call me. So they know that they're still in contact with me, and they're very grateful, and they're so happy because they have seen a change in me. Because I'm not as, like, I was stressed and I was worried and I didn't know how to deal with it. Where the hospice have taught me how to deal with it. So now I'm better with them than I was, you know, and I'm able to explain to them things that I was hiding from them.
And at the start, Mary, when you began your journey, you said, you know, that when you heard the word hospice or you heard the word palliative care, you thought, you know, that wasn't for you. That was for people who are dying. But now you say that the hospice has actually helped you survive.
I did. I thought it was for people who are dying. And when you go down there, when you're told you're going to the hospice, like, it doesn't sink in, to be honest. But that day sitting at the palliative care door and I seen the sign and I said, I shouldn't be here. That's when it's part of it sunk in with me. But it's totally different. Like, there's my husband, he's getting knee replacements and he's going to be going there for 2 weeks, you know, for recovery when he gets these done. And they do lots of things like the OT with me, the breathlessness to teach me, the psychologist. There's lots of things that they do for people, not only help people through their really hard times, you know, of their loved ones dying.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it than people might realise. Mary, it was a pleasure to talk to you this morning. Mary Kelly there, who is a respite patient at Our Lady's Hospice in Harold's Cross. Mary, stay well. I hope you get through all the next couple of weeks and everything and get back to seeing everyone that gives you so much help in the hospice in the future. But thanks for sharing your story with us on News Talk Breakfast this morning.
Thanks a million, Susan. Thank you.
I am joined now on the line by Mary Condon, who is the clinical nurse manager at St Francis's Hospice in Raheny for East Dublin. And Mary, good morning to you.
Good morning, Susan.
Mary, I suppose tell us a little bit about your involvement in St Francis. I know you've been working at the hospice for 24 years. How did it all start?
It all started very simply. I got came back from London, having worked in palliative care in London, and had applied for a job in the hospice. Didn't get it initially, worked in Beaumont for a while, and then a maternity leave came up, and that was for 6 months. And 24 years later, I'm still there. That's the initial part of it. I suppose I've always had an interest in hospice care while I was doing my training in London. I always seem to be drawn to patients who needed palliative care, who needed to be cared for in a very holistic manner. Because bear in mind, at times when you're in a general hospital, there's not time for patients who don't need active treatment. Whereas for patients who are in hospice, the whole thing is to care for the whole person. You're caring for them holistically in a very full way. You're caring for their physical needs, emotional needs, psychological, spiritual, social. In hospice, there's time for that, whereas in hospital, there isn't really time for it. So that's how I got drawn into
it. And it was something that you were interested in. Mary, you work at St. Francis Hospice in Raheny, that's East Dublin. So you're looking after patients north of the Liffey, and you've 19 beds there. But you also go to people's homes. And, you know, if somebody needs you in their home over a number of days, at that point, you're there as well. How difficult a job? It strikes me as a really difficult job, is it?
Well, I don't personally go out to people's homes. I am in the inpatient unit. But from the experience of hearing from nurses that go out to people's homes, it's a very fulfilling job, both in the home and in the inpatient unit. I mean, the whole idea of palliative care is to give quality of life at a time when there appears to be no hope for a person. We just heard Mary Kelly there on the phone, and initially Mary was so frightened and thinking that she might die there and then at the side of the road when she said about her coughing when she was in the car. So it's all about being able to optimise the quality of life that the person has. And that's really what it's about. So in relation to being very difficult, well, we're qualified for the job. And we work very closely as a team. There's a whole team of people. So you're never alone as such. While you might be physically alone when you're with the patient, you have a lot of background people working with you. Like in the hospice, there are nurses, doctors, chaplains, physios, OTs, social workers, complementary therapists, lymphedema specialists. It goes on. And those are all the frontline staff, but you also have a lot of background staff. You have volunteers, which enable us to really enhance the package of care that we can give overall to patients, whether it be in their home or in the hospice.
In the hospice. And obviously your relationship with the person who is at the end of their life is really, really important, Mary. But so, I guess, is your relationship with the family. And it's important that they're looked after as well. And I suppose you're the point of contact often between the family and the person, you know, who is passing away. That's probably a big part of the job, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. The most important thing is really to keep in mind that you're always caring for a family unit. While, yes, our first priority is the patient, because that's the person that needs to be cared for, whether it's be at home or in the hospice. But at all times, you are caring for a family unit. And in some cases, they may not have family, but 99.9% of the time, they have either family or significant others. So you journey with the whole family, but in particular with the actual patient.
And in terms then, just Mary, about, you know, getting involved, because I know you can spend a lot of time with a person at the end of their life or the family. Is it hard sometimes to keep a little bit of distance, to not get too involved, to not take these sad stories home with you, I suppose, and kind of take all of that on?
Well, Susan, if we're in the actual area of palliative care, we're very much, I suppose, professionals, and that's not to take it away, the personal side of it. We also have to be able to keep our boundaries. And it's important that we have, you know, we do self-care and we care for ourselves. While we may be very aware of our own mortality, this is not our journey, it's the patient's journey. So for us, I suppose it's important that we're there to enable the person to have a good journey on their journey, and that we enable them to have a good death. And really, if we can make that happen, and a good death can go on for a long number of months or a short number of hours. All that matters is that the person can be very peaceful, that their symptoms, I suppose, are well controlled. That's the first and foremost, because if somebody's symptoms are not well controlled, then they can't move on to the whole emotional, psychological, spiritual side of their life. So in order to give a good death, you need to look after every aspect of the person and of their family as well, because the patient needs to know that their family are being looked after as well.
Okay.
That can be adults, it can be children, across the board.
Okay, Mary Condon, thank you for talking to us on News Talk Breakfast. Mary is the clinical nurse manager at St Francis's Hospice in Raheny in Dublin. And before Mary, we've Mary Kelly, who's a respite patient at Our Lady's Hospice in Harold's Across. Thank you both for being with us on News Talk Breakfast this morning.
Thank you, Susan.